Have you ever wondered how Egypt was able to build such a massive empire without the heavy machinery and new technology we have today?
It's an incredible story, and one we will explore on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
Plus, we have music and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today. You know, we're so glad you have chosen to join us.
We are, friends. And do you have a cat at home? Well, today is Respect Your Cat Day.
Mm-hmm.
Your little feline friend is there with you when you're happy and when you're sad. So today is a day dedicated to celebrating their companionship.
And you know who else is there when we are happy or sad? Jesus. That's right. Jesus promises to hold your hand, strengthen you when you're down or discouraged or disappointed.
Even when we are happy, He loves to be with us and draw us nearer and nearer.
Yes.
As we dwell upon His goodness and the joy that we can find in Him.
And that is why we are here to share Him with you today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1915, the first American citizen lost his life in what would later be recognized as the First World War. Leon Thrasher, a 31-year-old mining engineer from Massachusetts, tragically drowned when the German submarine U-28 torpedoed the Falaba, a cargo passenger ship traveling from Liverpool to West Africa off the coast of England. Among the 242 passengers and crew on board, 104 perished. Thrasher, who worked in British West Africa, was en route from England to his post when the incident occurred. The Germans claimed they followed proper war protocol by giving everyone on board the ship ample time to evacuate before they fired. However, investigations by the British found that passengers were only given about 5 minutes, something that would have taken a miracle to get everyone out of the ship that quickly.
You know, what a blessing it is to know that God gives each one of us ample time to come to Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we are reminded that God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Friend, what are you waiting for? God is calling on each one of us today to come to Him, to surrender our whole hearts, and to follow Him. And when we do, we can be certain that His promise of heaven and eternal life is ours.
Amen. Egypt is known in history for being a thriving superpower, one that built an enormous empire of influence. How did its people become master engineers and build massive monuments in spite of a lack of heavy machinery or expensive technology? Let's explore what made the difference with Tosh Pokleb on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
In the northeast corner of Africa lies a country famed for its historic ruins, incredible monuments, rich culture, giant pyramids, and friendly people. A country covered by the largest desert on the planet, the Sahara Desert. Egypt is arid, sunny, and dusty, a true desert. The Nile River, the lifeblood of Egypt, is the most important means for supporting life in this harsh climate. This father of African rivers is the longest river in the world, covering an astounding 4,132 miles. It truly is the wellspring, the sustainer of life in this historic hotspot. Most life cannot survive in the desert landscape of Egypt. And yet Egypt is known in history for being a thriving superpower of antiquity, the seed of all other civilizations. They were the master engineers, well advanced in their time. They built their monuments as a testament to their genius, power, and pride. They wanted to be remembered forever. Just south of Cairo, on a rocky plateau, on the west bank of the Nile River, sits the Pyramids of Giza, the only surviving wonder of the ancient world. There are three pyramids here, each one built to house the mummified bodies and the physical goods of three generations of pharaohs, father, son, and grandson. The walls are inscribed, with pictures and texts of almost every subject imaginable. To this day, scientists are unsure exactly how the Egyptians built these ancient relics. They stand as a testament to their architectural skill and genius. Near the Great Pyramid stands one of the world's largest monuments, the Great Sphinx. This colossal statue was carved out of a single piece of sandstone. Although it has deteriorated over the centuries, this ancient relic is still very much intact, and it is an incredible sight to behold. The city of Luxor sits sprawled upon the banks of the Nile River. It is here that one-third of the world's ancient monuments are found. The Valley of the Kings, the Temple of Luxor, the Temple of Karnak, the Valley of the Queens are just a few of the iconic sites you can visit in this open-air museum. Temple ruins, royal burial grounds, ancient monuments are scattered across this desert landscape. They are some of the oldest remaining monuments in the world. What's amazing about it is that they built it in a time when they didn't have electricity or power tools. They only had pulleys and manpower. To accomplish what they did with the technology that they had is nothing short of amazing. It gives us a glimpse into the engineering genius of this ancient civilization. These structures have stood the test of time. But why was the ancient civilization so successful and powerful? How were they able to build these incredible monuments instead of simply laboring for survival in this harsh desert land? That which all these monuments have in common is that they were built near the water. The Great Nile River is the lifeline of ancient Egypt, being used as a source of food, water, transportation, and irrigation for crops. Without the Nile, life would not have been possible in this region of the world. Without the Nile, they would never have the time or ability to erect these massive monuments. Their life and their legacy was built on the banks of the Nile. The lesson is simple, but profound in its simplicity. If you want to survive and thrive in life, like the ancient Egyptians, you need to align your life with an environment most favorable for success. If you want the temple of your legacy and the monument of your influence to remain long after you're gone, you need to build by the river, the place most favorable for growth and prosperity. It's all about location. Now, you may not have had the chance to choose the literal location of where you live, but there are many other areas in life where we do have the power to decide, like who we surround ourselves with, what we put in front of our eyes, the voices we choose to listen to, what we consume physically, mentally, and spiritually, the friends and influencers we choose to follow. These are the things that we can't control. We must stop setting up our tents in the desert of lifeless thinking. We need to avoid mentally habituating in the sifting, sinking sand of selfish, worldly philosophy that's constantly changing with the blowing winds of empty trends of vain importance. A house cannot stand when its foundation is sinking sand. Like the ancient Egyptians, if we want our house to stand and the legacy of our monuments to last for time and eternity, we must build our lives and our legacy near the river. For it is the life and legacy built by the river that will impact future generations. We must set our roots down by the river. We must feed upon the life-giving water of positive thinking, gratitude in times of difficulty, delayed gratification, self-sacrifice, faith, hope, and a heavenly love that is demonstrated in service to others. These are the characteristics that will outlast the elements. For the God that came to this ancient land many generations ago gave to all of us the promise that when we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, when we stand not in the path of sinners, when we avoid sitting in the seat of the scornful, but instead delight in His ways and meditate upon His righteousness day and night, that as a result, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves are always green and fruit is always tasty, and whatever we do will prosper. And so I invite you today to come out of the desert. Ignore the deceptive mirage that will leave you unsatisfied. Come to the river of life. Now, you may not be able to come to the Nile like we've done so today, but there is another river that is within the reach of all. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The unmovable monument of your life is built by the river of God's grace and the water of His divine favor. All can come, all can drink. You need not be a pharaoh to have a monument named after you. All you must do is come by faith to the King of Kings, from whose throne flows the river of life. And there he will give you everything that you need to overcome the challenges and thrive in the desert of this world. So go where the water flows. It is the best place to sow and the place most favorable to grow. And when your fruit begins to show, then all will know, and they too will be drawn to where the water flows.
We have to take a short break now, friends, but when we return, we will have music. And later, Dr. John Peckham returns with this inspiring series on knowing God.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend. And don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup and check us out on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there.
We'll be right back.
In the Bible, we see music used to celebrate victory, seek comfort in times of distress, and glorify God's name. From David's harp to soothing Saul's troubled spirit, to Paul and Silas singing hymns in prison, music has the ability to uplift the soul and set our minds heavenward. This morning, we have music to share with you as we think of our mighty God. Have to take a short break, but stay with us. After the break, we will continue our series on knowing God with Dr. John Peckham.
In the meantime, don't forget to check us out on YouTube and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
The love of God is so compelling, and this morning, Dr. John Peckham takes a deeper look in his series on knowing God.
The love of parents for their offspring is perhaps the greatest kind of love typically found among humans. Many parents would even die for their children. I know I would die for my beloved son, Joel. Even in the animal kingdom, there are many examples of special care for offspring. Emperor penguins, for example, are known for their communal care of their chicks. In the midst of very harsh winters in the Antarctic, they huddle together to protect their chicks from the biting elements, keeping the chicks warm so they can survive. Yet in some cases, the weak among the penguin offspring might be neglected. Or worse, even among emperor penguins, some parents are less attentive to weaker chicks, which can result in less feeding and lower chances of survival. Likewise, house sparrows sometimes neglect the weaker chicks among them, especially when resources are scarce. And sadly, I do not have to tell you that many human parents neglect their children, and worse. Among creatures, love is imperfect at best. Some even avoid love because with love comes vulnerability. And so many of us have been wounded by loved ones and friends. Perhaps you are wounded right now. Perhaps the very ones you thought you could trust hurt you deeply. Wouldn't it be great if there was somewhere you could turn to find perfect love? Now that might sound too good to be true, you might think. Is there anywhere that perfect love can be found? In Matthew 5, Jesus taught, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Though not everyone loves God in return, God loves everyone. God himself is the ultimate model of love for everyone, including those who hate him. Jesus goes on to say that our Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now the kind of perfection being addressed here is being perfect or complete in love. In the Bible, the word perfect often refers to something complete. Those who love only those who love them back are bestowing partial, incomplete love. Love on some, but not others. God, however, bestows love on everyone. It is complete and perfect love. Can you imagine loving those who hate you? It may be hard for you to imagine, but even this is possible for those who are filled with the perfect love of God. In Luke's account, Jesus likewise says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, you may know that as the golden rule. Imagine what the world would be like if everyone lived like that. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He adds, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This kind of love is not something we can produce in ourselves, but the Holy Spirit pours this love into the hearts of those who belong to Christ. But how do we know God's love is so perfect in the first place? How do we know He loved even those who hated Him? Paul writes, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love is perfect. Indeed, God is love. Notice, the Bible doesn't just say God is loving, but God is love. And God's love is exponentially greater than even that of a loving mother for her children. As God Himself says in Isaiah 49, verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Even a mother might forget her child, but God promises His people He will never forget them. And He uses a word, racham, that means deep compassion. The kind of compassion where one loves someone so much that when things go wrong, one's stomach churns for them. Now this word translated compassion, racham, is derived from the Hebrew word for womb, rechem, and it thus describes a womb-like mother love. Isn't that beautiful? If you want to know more about this and God's love in general, I write much more about God's character of perfect love in my recent book, God With Us. Now, among creatures, love is imperfect. Even sparrows sometimes neglect the weaker among their young. But God does not. Jesus taught, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God values you more than you could imagine. Now, many of us might think we need to make ourselves valuable in the eyes of the world, that we must be productive or useful or somehow worthy of good esteem. And sadly, many people look at other people this way. They value only those who can do something for them. But God is not like the world. In God's eyes, you are of incalculable value. The Son of God gave His life for you, showing how much God loves and values you. His love is perfect. So you do not need to worry. God loves you more than you can imagine with perfect love. And God invites you to a deep love relationship with Him right now. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, wherever you are in your life right now, He calls you to accept Him and enter into His love.
Amen. Thank you, John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We will have a special feature on exercise and endorphins, another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode, and Pastor Mark Finley will be with us for a devotional thought.
Plus, we will have health news by Go Healthy for Good's Dr. Nerida McKibben.
If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Well, that's the end of our program for today, but of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Psalm chapter 103, verse 17.
"But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children."
Amen, friends. You know, His mercy is everlasting. And as we follow Him, He seeks to extend His righteousness even to our children. What a loving God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, for us who are parents, we are especially thankful for this promise, because we know that You can and will take care of our children. For the rest of us, Lord, who have influence among young people, we claim that promise and we are thankful. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us faithful today as we serve you and carry hope in our hearts and willing to share it with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.